Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heaven or hell.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
Yeah, that shit he's sucks.
He's all ba-da-da-da-da in the morning sun.
Starts sounding like he's Irish.
He's still trying to do Irish ska.
Oh, God.
Oh, Jesus.
Thank you.
Hey, Irish, what's your name?
Irish reggae.
What?
Welcome, everybody.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Ghost Podcast, episode 348. This is Jorge.
Guess who's back in the motherfucking house with a slightly average, above average size dick for slightly your above. Motherfucking mouth. It's Matty Ding Dong.
He pointed at me, the reed, it's when for, he said it's this for his to mouth. The D.
Yeah. Ooh, look at that flow. That was off the top of your chrome dome, dude.
The rumors of our demise were greatly exaggerated.
Mildly exaggerated.
Well, the rumors of all of our demise are true.
It's true.
Including you listening. I want you to reflect on that. You're right now falling apart.
Yeah, and you're just sentient meat that's rotting away.
You've been dying since the day you were born.
You're not a victim of entropy. It's not like you will succumb to entropy. You are entropy itself. Breathing, talking.
Entropy.
Dying entropy.
I'd rather enter V.
So we started with some nice 9/11 conspiracy theory and entropy talk.
Yeah.
If you're still listening,
thank you.
Stop it. Get some help.
Yeah. I mean, you're welcome because now you're a little bit more woke. You've been sleeping all these days, all these years.
How are you, Mateo?
I was great until this morning, and then a whole bunch of just shit came collapsing down.
Anything you can talk about, or
it's just fucking scheduling shit with like the movies and the commercial. I'm supposed to do a commercial this weekend, and I flipped around my work schedule so I could be off this weekend. And then they sent an email this morning that they may need to push it back. And so, of course, the days they want to push it to are the days I'm now working in order to get the previous days off. And then my property management wants to come and like take a look at the premises on Friday when I'm supposed to be in LA. So I have to figure out something to do for my fucking dog. And then like just...
Oh, because you can't have a dog?
No, I just need somebody. I'm not going to be there to watch her. So I need somebody to take care of her for the couple hours while like they're on premises to like come look in my apartment. Because if somebody just walks into my apartment, my dog might bite them. And I don't want that. So, you know,
It'd be like a very adorable bite, though.
I've been 3 weeks completely sober, and I feel really, really, really fucking good. Mm-hmm. And my time management has been impeccable, and I've been like doing a really good job about like
imagine that.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's been really different, and I realized like how negatively it was affecting me over the last 16 and a half years. But so everything in my life was planned perfectly to the moment, and then this morning it's just like, hey.
We know how upset you get about that stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I would have gotten a lot more upset 3 weeks ago, but...
You think you would have got more upset on the weed?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Because then I tend to fixate on, like, just, like, bullshit.
This is true.
I just...
What?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You know what? It's wild. You're the only one, too. Other people don't ever do that. Oh, nope. Wait.
Oh, by the way, happy 420. First time in 17 years that I'm not annihilated today.
Well, I mean, and I say congratulations, not to, you know, if people listening, people, you know, do what you're going to do. But any major life change like that, it's not an easy thing to do. And you're doing it for your own reasons.
Yep.
So I'm not saying that because I'm against weed or against drug use or against recreational use. I'm not even against...
I'm not against rap.
I'm not against
rappers.
I'm anti.
Yeah.
And I love anti.
That means you're pro, dude.
Exactly. Something.
Hella pro.
But yeah, man, you decided to make a major change, and that's not easy to fucking do, man.
Yep. Did it the same way I did alcohol. I got to a point where I was disgusted with myself and then just white knuckled it. And here I am. I even made weed butter because I thought I was going to like microdose edibles. And then I'm just like, you know what?
That's a mistake.
Just don't forget to blame the people you love on the way.
Well, no, like, yeah. I blame myself. I blame myself for all of it.
Yeah, just remember to take us for a bumpy ride on your way up. On their way up.
See, that's the thing is now that I don't smoke weed, like, I don't get jokes.
Well,
I'm just very dry.
You see me? That's why
you are a joke. I don't get you though, dude. I don't get you at all.
Damn, got him.
Disrespect, dude.
But you know what I did get last night? Existential as fuck.
Well, that's gonna happen.
I just dropped knowledge on my coworkers, and it was fucking weird. I'm like, who the fuck is this person that's talking right now?
What are you talking
Why
about?
Is my brain working and my neurons and my fucking synapses are firing? It's crazy.
Because all those A24 movies you've been watching the last 3 years while you were getting stoned all fucking planted seeds, and they're all growing now within
you. No, now I realize why I hate those movies. Instead of just being like, they suck. It's like, no, there's other reasons.
You could hate the movie, but the lesson they're in is growing within.
What is the lesson? Feelings are scary? No, I still think that's dumb.
So you think Green Room is dumb?
Not Green Room.
You think
even a blind squirrel could find a nut, dude?
This is every week.
Even a blind squirrel could find a nut. I told you that.
You don't like A24. What about Green Room?
Yeah, no, Green Room is great.
But what about Green Room?
Ex Machina is dope. The Witch is dope. Hereditary, not dope.
What about
fucking Midsommar? Not dope.
That's two.
All these other, well, because I've forgotten all of them because I smoke weed a lot.
There you go.
Boom.
I look forward to the A24 movies you have yet to see.
There was one that's coming out that I was actually like, that actually looks pretty fun. I don't remember if it was animated or like something. I don't remember what it was. But
Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
Oh.
Oh!
Oh!
But yeah.
Bro.
How are you, dude?
Bro.
I'm doing good.
Your beard's
looking good.
Thank you, man. I just want to watch that movie again.
Talk about it.
No, I loved it. It's
Well, you love so the.
It's actually a film that I believe is life changing.
I agree. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once is the movie we're talking about. A lot of the listeners we interact with on Discord, which is not most of you listening at the moment, have watched it and loved it too. And I'm waiting for someone to say it's overrated so I can call them a racist.
Oh, Jesus.
Because Michelle Yeoh is the lead in it, and it took this long for a Hollywood film to have an aging Asian woman as the protagonist of a film. Number one, that's culturally significant by itself, but beyond that and apart from that, the movie is, if you've seen the trailer, it's multiverse fuckery, and you're like, okay, there's a lot of that going around, right? And it looks like it's, you know, there's some action in it, but it has just endless ideas. Amazing editing. The structure of it is so fucking dense. If you left for 3 minutes and went to take a piss, there's no like catching you up, you know?
You lost it.
And then the biggest surprise by it and most effective thing, even amidst all those ideas to me, was just like the heartstrings, dude.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird like it's very emotional. Like the core idea of it is kind of like a very simple story about a relationship between a mother and daughter.
You could read this all as her just yeah.
But exactly. it's and again, like it really exemplifies itself in the quiet scenes.
Absolutely.
It's fucking bonkers, dude. I recommend it. I highly recommend it. I don't like
watching movies, so.
You would like this one. It's not a movie.
No, I realize that I hate watching movies
definitely worth a watch. It goes to the extreme life is meaningless nihilism, but then it's a doorway to transcendence. Mm. It goes both places. Mm. And
just like the D.
Just like the D.
Just it, like
whoa,
it.
Whoa. It's been a long time
the
since
D the D. The D goes three places.
The D went to both places.
It's been a long time since the D went to any place.
Is it?
Wow.
It's been a while. It's been a while.
It's been about exactly three weeks since he stopped smoking weed.
The only place he's been going, right here. Good old Rosie Palm and her five sisters.
Have you been playing anything?
No. I haven't played any video games in 3 weeks. I haven't watched anything besides wrestling and YouTube videos over the last 3 weeks. I've been reading more, so that's something. I've been reading Clown in a Cornfield lately. I started
Canary in a Coal Mine.
I started reading Canary in a Coal Mine.
That's a dope song.
What did I start reading? It's Little Heaven, I think it's called. I'm like barely into that one though, but Yeah, I ain't been doing shit. I've been so...
That's not true.
No, I mean, I've been so busy. Like, I've been doing... I did a movie called Dunce Cat Boy.
Oh, yeah. It looks all professorial.
Yeah, I was a professor or a teacher from the 1800s, and I got to pull a kid by his ear, which was dope. And I'm doing a movie called Molar. I did that last weekend. I'm doing a commercial for a company called Bug Assault this weekend where I get
to... I have
to,
one of those, dude.
Do you? Yeah. Dude, they look so cool. Like, and I get to keep one of them. It's a commercial that takes place at the Last Supper.
You want
to
shoot yourself right with it right
flies,
now?
But yes, there's flies buzzing all over the place and I get to play Judas. So like, I get to betray Jesus and not portray, betray, which is kind of fucking dope.
What's the name of this movie?
This is a commercial for a thing called Bug Assault. It's like this gun that shoots table salt that flies so you don't like kill them and smash their guts all over the place.
Do you want me to do it or do you want to shoot yourself?
Shoot me in the tummy, but like...
Are you going to actually shoot him?
Yeah.
Is it hard?
I've done it to myself.
Like at point blank?
Yeah, I did it like on my leg.
Well, don't do it at point blank. Do it from like across the table. Do it in my tummy.
No, it's got to be point blank for you. It literally like here, it's not going to feel like anything.
It does feel weird. It's a little sting, but
yeah,
it is a little sting. Look at that.
Yeah.
God damn. So that's what I'm gonna be. This is my hucking.
This is my Christmas present.
That's here. Dope. I don't really have flies living in an apartment.
Keep that thing on me.
I'm gonna.
Get a shot with it, dude?
No.
I'm gonna use it to shoot to shoot my food. Like when I salt my food, I'm just gonna shoot it.
A melody pure and true.
But yeah, so I just been doing a bunch of acting shit.
All right, cool.
And working out. Look at these fucking guns, bro.
You got the guns.
Fucking getting there. My arms are looking sick. Still not as big as Rhett though. Goddamn.
Well, you got to eat more beans and rice and stop working out.
A lot more beans and rice. Working
out. Oh, sorry.
Damn.
You know what? You got to get in the time machine, go back to when you're like 11.
And start drumming.
Eat whole loaves of bread and drink a whole gallon of milk and drum.
Oh, yeah. That's the other thing. I've been playing music again for the first time in like fucking 15 years. And man, I didn't realize how much I missed it. I didn't realize how much weed fucking... made me not want to play music. I just got too self-conscious and
fucking
too anxious
imagine
about
that.
It. Dude, well, because when I first started, it's like, oh, I can feel the music, you know? But then after a while, I just got really anxious playing in front of anybody. And like, I thought it was helping my creativity, but it just really stifled it. And so, yeah, I've started playing music with my brother again. And we've been writing a bunch of hardcore stuff in the vein of like American Nightmare and Teeth and Pupil Slicer. And
ooh, Pupil Slicer,
cool, it's cool. Dope, man. It feels really fucking good to.
I saw their vocalist
to slap at the bass again
in The Armed.
That's dope.
She good.
Yeah,
I don't know her name offhand, but I will.
Just the vocalist.
She is the vocalist.
That's what I've been doing. So lot of positivity. I'm in much better control of my emotions and like I don't feel as dumb anymore. It's God, weird. It's like a rebirth.
What am I going to do?
Well, I mean, like, I'm still dumb. I just don't feel as dumb.
You were never dumb. That's the thing.
I was just masking.
He's just, you know what? He's just confident
about his
dumbness now.
You were proudly ignorant. You're like, oh, I don't give a fuck.
I still don't give a fuck.
I know. And that's good. That's good.
But at least now it's me that doesn't give a fuck.
It's not the weed that doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, I'm still going to do the fuck out of some mushrooms. I just bought a whole bunch of them.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, well, there, you know.
Well, there
you
it
go.
Is.
Do your thing.
That's different, though. That's different. Yeah. That's a once in a blue moon kind of thing, but that's when your brain needs a little reset.
It's your thing. It's your thing, dog.
It's your thing.
But
what you been doing?
Because we've said it in person, but let's say it on air. I love you, man.
Oh, I love you, too.
We do love you.
I love that.
Jorge's shaking his head.
Well, yeah. He doesn't love anybody.
That's not
having
true.
Children.
That's not true.
Having children has just made him dead inside.
He just doesn't like saying it because it's so silly.
It's so unmasculine.
I watched the first one I want to cover is the best one I saw with Jared Leto.
Yes, Morbius.
If that's the best one you saw, I'm really not looking forward to the rest of this list.
Oh, it's Morbius is what you would expect it to be. And if the trailer didn't convince you, maybe the memes have. But if you're not familiar with either, he's playing the comic book character originally from Spider-Man. The movie's fucking god-awful terrible. And let me just hit the highlights, right? Jared Leto, he has a rare blood disease.
Yeah.
So he grows up. They have this character who has a rare blood disease with him that he names Milo.
Oh, his friend. Yeah, his best friend.
Milo.
And he calls him Milo. Jared Leto story? I have one.
Oh, you did tell me.
So it has these two heart-throbby guys walking around fucking New York on crutches. with rare blood diseases and scarves on. And I'm like, wow, these rare blood disease guys are fucking hot. You know what I mean? And then so because he's got the rare blood disease, Jared Leto's thing is he doesn't tie his shoes. So his shoes are untied the whole time. And I'm like, tie your fucking
what
shoes.
What does a blood disease have to do with tying your shoes?
He can't bend down far enough, dude.
I don't know.
He could put shoes on, though. Why wouldn't you just buy slip-ons?
Well, by the time he can tie his shoes, because he starts fucking doing the vampire thing.
I would also like to start
right? doing Right? And I don't need to go in how and all that. It's, you know, with bats and all this stuff. He finds a way to cure the blood disease, but at a horrible price. Turns him into a vampire. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't want to kill people, so he has this synthetic blood thing, which is a funny thing. But, dude, the movie, every single scene is just full of stupidity, plot
contrivances. What you're saying is it's like that Tales from the Crypt episode, The Reluctant Vampire.
Well, dude, the premise isn't the problem here. Like, it's the whole fucking thing. And here's the thing, too. When they have fight scenes, I don't even want to call them that, because it's CGI moving real fast.
And then slow down shit, right?
And then they do a slow still, but they have this thing where they're moving and it's a trail of like purple. So if his shirt is purple, it's a trail of purple. And if the other guy's is red, it's like a trail of red. And I'm like, so is this like photorealistic? Like, are they leaving? Sophia's next to me. She's like, is he like a skunk?
Hi, Sophia.
is he spraying his enemies? So, dude, there are parts where, and I'm not talking about like frenetic Michael Bay editing. It's so fucking just nonstop, and you can't even tell what's going on. And it's just streaks of purple in the air. It's like, what the fuck am I looking at? So the movie's horrible. Jared Leto.
I heard Leto went full like method actor on this shit.
Well,
like he was walking around in crutches, and like the bathroom breaks would take like 45 minutes, and everybody was like, "Can we just put you in a wheelchair?
Can I just hold your dick for you so you can piss and we can get back on set?"
Yeah, these poor people that had to deal with him, dude, on movie
somebody,
sets, man.
I think it was Coop, posted a meme about like somebody's Letterbox reviews where they were giving Jared Leto movies like 4 and 5 stars, and it's all just because Jared Leto dies in them, and all the reviews were like the idea of Jared Leto dying.
It was Jacob, I saw that today.
Was it? Yeah. Oh yeah, Jacob. It was like the idea of Jared Leto dying in a war pleases me.
You know? I just love the idea of him dying in a war.
Yep. It's like, oh, you know what? Yeah.
Fight, that, and they're like, that movie is a lot better. 4 stars. Jared Leto get his face busted up. Yeah,
fuck so Jared Leto.
There's a very strong backlash to Jared Leto these days.
And you know what? Get this episode in front of him. Tell him I said, fuck you, little bitch ass.
Whoa.
I got history with that fool. He's lucky he didn't catch fucking five across
the
eyes.
Look, when he was in Requiem for a Dream and he was in Dallas.
He was also
Buyers
in 30
Club.
Seconds to Mars, dude, where this guy met him.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
That's where I almost beat his fucking ass.
That's a problem. Fuck but you. All of us can continue to secretly like. You break me down. Baby.
No, we're not doing that.
Never mind.
He's like, bro, like we're the first American band that got to go to China. It's like, well, fucking pin a rose on your nose, dickhead.
What did he do to do that, Matt? Tell us.
He sucked all the dicks, bro.
He spread COVID-19.
He did. He brought it back over. He's solely responsible for that shit. Him and Jada Pinkett Smith. Look it up.
Oh. Damn, that's a rough statement. The other film I watched was...
It's because he's had almost 4 weeks to stew about this shit without coming to this table to talk about
and it. And he's remembering what happens when he reads. It's a problem. Mm. Now is when the views start to harden.
You thought I was problematic before. Just fucking wait. The dragon has been unleashed. Oof. Yeah.
I saw a Michael Bay film, A New Ambulance.
Ambulancia?
And I went for the lulz, and I left with a fucking massive heart on this film. Woo! I went with Sophia, and I had to basically drag her there. And I'm like, are you excited? She's like, no.
I feel like that's a daily occurrence in
their
relationship.
It's not a daily occurrence. It's not but she'll tell you too. She's been like, she's been apologetic afterwards. You know, like, you know, she was the same way about like fucking Silent Night, Deadly Night 2. That's a mistake, you know?
Well, yeah. But like, you know, that movie proves that it's worthy of being seen. You know, like you look at it from the outside and you're like, I don't know about that.
Okay, so Ambulance, Michael Bay, he wanted to take advantage of LA being mostly empty during the pandemic. So he sets up this thing with fucking Jake Gyllenhaal and the dude from Candyman. And they're in the middle of a heist. And then
they were looking for Candyman.
They hijack an ambulance, right? He's only got a $40 million budget, though. And I say only because Michael Bay's used to shitloads of CGI and a much bigger budget.
And a lot of explosions.
So what this means is, this for him, this is pretty stripped down. And the movie is fucking bonkers. It knows it is. It's hard R-rated, which is like good to see him do this again because it's been a while. It's been a while.
I thought you were supposed to avoid the hard R.
Dude, the movie, okay, because he doesn't have all the CGI, you know what he does, Jorge? Uh-huh. He uses drones.
He's back.
He uses drones.
To film?
Yes. And I was waiting for someone to do this, and I'm glad he did it first, and this is nowhere near where it could be, but he does these shots where he goes down like the side of a building, and then he goes like back up in the air and does like a 360 in the air and then zooms down to an ambulance, and it's like, what the fuck am I watching right now?
Wow.
And then like, honestly, though, I was entertained as fuck. After it gets out of the stupidity of a Bay movie, like the premise setup, when it gets to Jake Gyllenhaal, he is acting like a maniac the entire time. And yeah, Michael, it's like with Pain and Gain and The Rock and this is the Michael Bay I want. And
wow.
It's dumb as fuck, Jorge, and you would love it, and it knows it's dumb, and it just does not stop.
Okay.
It will not stop.
I'm in.
And is it a good movie? No, but is it like...
No, but who cares?
Well, it's also... Would you watch it like if you were looking for the film craft and be like, Jesus Christ, you'd be like, yeah, what the fuck is he doing? It's amazing.
Okay.
Okay. Future cult classic. You Won't Be Alone, I saw. Matt's new favorite movie.
I don't even know what that shit is.
It's Noomi Rapace, and it's an art house foreign horror film.
God, you could have just...
And it has witchcraft. And Jacob talked about it on the last show with us, and I enjoyed it very much. He had mentioned it's kind of like a Terrence Malick type horror film. He said it's not very horror-y. I actually felt like it had a lot of horror stuff on the first half. But the thing is, its handling of it is very earthy and naturalistic, which still doesn't differentiate it. It departs in the second half where it's just treating it very dramatically. Very well acted movie. Sophia liked it more than I did. I respect the movie. I didn't love it.
I respect it. I just don't like it.
No, I did like it. I did like it. But it is very much a foreign art house horror movie.
Jesus.
Yes. Well, what's wrong with that?
No, just for him. It's a
it's oh, yeah.
straight up.
You might fucking like
off
it.
Off switch.
You liked fucking Lose.
My brain already went.
You liked Lose. You don't L-U-Z that movie. You liked that.
Yeah, I did.
Foreign art house.
Don't you spell lose L-O-O-S-E?
Ah, don't you like foreign art house horror movies?
Yeah, okay. Anywho.
Okay. The Kanye trilogy thing on Netflix?
Nah.
Yeah.
Nah.
It's very good.
I'm done with him.
It's not him. It's not like he made it.
I mean, I'm done with like him. Like him, like in general, just him.
Yeah, okay. It was actually really well done. And it began filming before the college dropout and all that stuff. And you see this meteoric rise thing and how hard he fought, and then I had no clue how, like, I knew he was crazy and eccentric and egomania, but the bipolar thing, it has like footage of him fucking like going straight. Remember how I was with Speed?
Mm-hmm.
But like, he's surrounded by yes men and he's got endless amounts of money and no one will ever tell him he's wrong.
You know, it's crazy that nobody noticed that before. I remember like when punked was a thing, they tried to punk Kanye West when he was shooting some video, and like they were trying to say that they had to shut it down and they had to take the footage from him, and he like flipped the fuck out and he was ready to fight people and he's like yanking film out of people's hands. He's like, I bought this, and like,
yeah,
that fool, man, he needs to stop it.
It's because as
he needs to stop it.
As a young artist, like that sort of energy is like sought after.
Yeah. Well, and it manifests even when he was acting a fool, like up to fucking Yeezus, in my opinion, yeah. That album was great. And of course, my beautiful dark, of course. No, but when you peak out, when you reach your peak, and then you're not as creative as you were, and your mental illness is getting worse, and you start fucking Kim Kardashian, and then she leaves you for some fucking comedian dude with a big schlong.
That's it. He's got a huge dong. That's how he's pulling all this tail.
Yeah. That shit's a mistake. Anyway, it was really interesting.
You think that's the deal with Pete Davidson? You think he's just got a
huge
dick?
He's ugly as fuck, bro. He looks like an aborted hobbit. Oh, and this motherfucker
is
like...
only one aborted hobbit in our life.
And this fool is pulling Ariana Grande. She wrote a song about him called like Side to Side where it's like he fucks her so hard that she can't walk right. That's literally what the song is about.
Listen.
Look it up.
The Wolf of Wall Street.
The Wiffle Wall Street.
The Wiffle Ball of Wall Street. Dude, the Wolf of Wall Street is fantastic. I think it's one of the best fucking mainstream Hollywood movies of that decade, having watched it again. Just great fucking movie. Can't believe an 80-something-year-old guy made that fucking movie. Scorsese, I'm speaking of. Like, it's just... have you seen that, Matt?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of it?
I remember liking it, but I saw it... how long has it been out? Like 10 years?
Well, because it does the same thing with Goodfellas where it's like, is it glamorizing this? Is it glorifying it? But then it gets to this particular scene where they're doing a thing where a lady's shaving her head to get $10,000 to get a boob job. And it has a marching band come in and you're like, oh, this is a takedown. Like, this is like showing the emptiness and nihilism of it. But also it's like pointing a mirror like, isn't this all of us?
Also, it's a second-rate boiler room, dude.
Fuck,
because only one of them had fucking Vin Diesel in it.
Family.
Yeah.
Family.
And Giovanni Ribisi, whatever happened to that dude?
He still do things.
Does he? He still do things?
He still do things.
Hi, Sophia, and I watched...
I already said that. I said that like 20 minutes ago, bro.
That's fine. Oh, The Straight Story, which is a Lynch movie. It's a rated G David Lynch movie, which is interesting. Hmm. Yeah, from 1995. It's a beautiful fucking movie, and that's on Disney+.
Disney Plus.
Severance season finale.
Everything about that sentence seems like wrong.
Exactly. And that's why it's right.
G-rated David Lynch, Disney Plus.
Well, and one of the listeners, Coop, was talking about how it doesn't feel like a David Lynch movie at all. And I get what he's saying, especially because we like on paper. But when you watch it, it's like it starts with this shot of the stars and Angelo Baldamente music that does all his things. It's got a lady sunbathing in the front yard of her house, and she's overweight, and it does these slow shots to the thing. It's all Lynch.
So, but I mean, there's like no body horror, I'm assuming, because
there's
rated
none
G.
of that. It's just, but it's still very quirky, and it still leans into the feelings. And
I expected you to say it was like the 70s, because like I have this movie called Lamora, and it's a horror movie about witches, I think, and it's rated G, but there's full frontal underage nudity in that movie.
Yeah.
And this was before... I don't know if PG was around. It was definitely before PG-13 because I think Poltergeist was the first ever PG-13 movie. Or was it Indiana Jones?
They made the PG-13 rating because Spielberg, he was having issues with the MPAA. They wanted to rate something, I think Temple of Doom R. And he's like, can we make a rating in between, you know, so that way it doesn't bar kids from coming to see this. And but yeah, it's Poltergeist and... Temple of Doom are the ones. And Poltergeist, yeah, the guy's ripping his face off.
Poltergeist is wild. I was talking about that with my coworker the other night, and it's like, man, that really made me want to watch that. They use the real skeletons in the swimming pool, and like, that movie's fucked.
Yes.
It's fucking great, too.
Severance season finale was fucking some of the best, air quotation marks, TV I've ever seen. And now there's also a really great Meshuga meme YouTube video with Severance.
Yeah, it's a good one.
It's simultaneously with Meshuga and Severance, so I basically
had you had a crumb.
I had a crumb, and it is the best Meshuga meme video yet made. And that's about as niche as I'll get on that. But yeah, what do you think of that season
finale? I believe
finale?
It's pronounced Nietzsche.
Nietzsche.
That guy's dope too.
Dude, that dude from Idols, his stomach is like the visual embodiment of this show.
He has Nietzsche and fucking Cornholio.
Yeah.
That's me, dude.
He's like, I listen mostly to the Who Cornholio. Goes There podcast, and this is what I think.
Yeah, basically.
I'm glad that guy's sober now, too, apparently. So,
speaking of sober, I sent Red a video the other day that I didn't send to you.
Oh, he was listening to Anima, dude.
Well, wait, what do you mean?
While I was fucking lifting.
He was listening to Tool while he was working out.
Oh, did you like it?
I mean, it's good for lifting.
Anima.
Fuck yeah, dude. Especially because you're listening to 96.
Of all albums, that's probably the way
to go. I didn't listen to the whole album. What song was it?
Anima.
Oh, it came on shuffle, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's That's good for right now. I'm going to leave that on.
Yeah, it's like, I woke in the morning sun, a melody pure and true. I cut off my toe. I won't do it. No, because I have cancer. Jah won't let me into heaven. Just let me die. Right? So, Severance season finale. I'm excited. Well, we gotta recover from that.
What's that? Are you talking about Bob Marley?
Yeah.
I have the cancer. No, no, no.
It's a good impression.
Oh,
it's accurate, is the thing. Severance season finale is just fucking amazing. If you haven't watched that show, like, what you liked it too?
It's okay.
You lie. I'm seeing The Northman tomorrow, and these reviews, I'm about through the fucking roof with what they're saying. It's not just that it's supposedly good; it's the stuff they're saying about the tone of it, how immersive it is.
It's Vikings, bro,
and it's Robert Eggers. He did The Witch and The Lighthouse.
Unless I have weights in my hands, I can't shrug any harder.
Matt, stop it! You're getting some help,
bro. I don't like movies. I don't want to watch any movies.
And then we're seeing, Sophia and I are going to go see Boy Harsher on Friday at the Observatory in North Park.
Nice.
I prefer Girl Softer.
I prefer Ass Blaster.
Me too.
And then I'm fucking super hyped to be seeing Meshuggah in October at the Hollywood Palladium of all places. Gross. I am. And you know, the opener is Converge.
That's pretty funny.
I might go if tickets are. I've been buying so many concert tickets lately. I bought tickets to fucking Nico Case. I bought tickets to Darkest Hour last night. I bought tickets to the Deer Hunter. I got tickets to fucking Coheed with Dance Gavin Dance. I've got tickets to fucking Newfound Glory. My birthday week is gonna be fire. So much shit that one week.
It's gonna be lit.
Hella lit. Hella.
It's gonna be lit.
Me and George are going to be at Coheed. Who's going to be my guest, but we'll see.
I'm sorry.
Do you want to suck, guy?
You want to suck, guy?
Yeah.
That's it. There was a lot of shit because we haven't been here in a while.
It's too much. It's too much.
And, of course, just like everything, everywhere, all at once.
Yeah.
Go see that shit.
Go see it.
Matt, it's good for you.
Is it?
I swear to God.
Yeah.
It still means I gotta sit through a movie. Like, I can't even find time to take a shit in peace.
Why don't I do this?
I've been getting four hours of sleep or less every day.
Why don't I get, when the movie comes out digitally, I will chop it up into 8 episodes so that you can pretend like you're binging it.
That might work.
Will that work for you?
That might.
For real.
If they're like, if they have logical stopping points per episode. Bro, you got another one of those?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I have this one.
Thank you. I wanted to stop, but I was already running late. Thank you.
Hey, it's time management. It's all good.
What did you watch? What did you play, Jorge?
Well, it's because I was watching wrestling.
I have been watching a lot of Survivor lately. What? A whole...
God damn it.
What the fuck?
Bunch of Survivor.
Just when I think you couldn't disappoint me anymore.
Ronnie and I have cranked through 3 seasons of Survivor in the last like 4
weeks. And now
weeks.
You're chafed?
I'm going to keep doing it. There's 4 more seasons to catch up to, like, now. It's fucking good, man.
Only 7 seasons of that show?
No, bro, there's 40.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we started at, like, 36, because I'm like, dude, there's no fucking way I'm going to, like...
That's a mistake.
There's no way I'm going to sit through 40 seasons of fucking Survivor, but I'll take 6.
There's some other show like that where it's like they, it's on Netflix where they just drop people in different places and they give them, like, no gear or something.
Oh, Naked and Afraid.
No, because they have clothes on. But like they're all on like an island. There's like 10 people.
That's
and like
in
sometimes
the morning,
sometimes they run into each other and then they start teaming up and like
yeah.
But yeah, no, they have clothes on though.
Yeah, no, dude, we and I'm actually really enjoying it, like unironically. Like this is my RuPaul's
oh yeah
thing.
We're also yeah. I'm up to date on that. We about
so
to finish up that.
He's got Survivor, season. You've got RuPaul, I've got Great British Bake Off.
I definitely win that one.
And I've been playing a little bit of a game that you might have heard of.
Dead by Daylight, dude?
Fortnite. With some of our Discord.
Little Fartnite. Thanks for the invite, dude.
We're all on there, dude. We said download that shit.
This is news to me. News to me, dude.
We're all on there, bro. We're playing. There's a new mode, no build mode, so you don't have to fuck around building towers and
shit. Oh, good. That shit was irritating.
Oh, dude. Oh. 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 Can I tell you?
It's dumb. What, dude?
In the last 15 rounds I've played, I've gotten 13 fucking victory royales. I'm a motherfucker at that game.
That definitely is relevant to my interest because there's a few people on Discord that I would like to shoot in the face. Mm. So that works.
There you go. So come join us on the Who Goes There Discord.
Yeah.
For Fortnite.
Fartnite.
Why is everyone getting into Fortnite?
Because of the new thing, the new no build thing.
That's not a good reason.
It is, because it's
a pretty good reason.
It takes the bullshit out of that game and just refines it down to the shooting, which is actually pretty fun.
It makes it Call of Duty again, but like cartoonish.
Oh, I see. So you're saying it's actually the gameplay for that aspect is actually extremely good.
The building stuff.
Cartoony kid
type right.
The building stuff was like really obnoxious, and I didn't want to build, man. I don't want to play the fucking Sims. That's why I didn't like Fallout 4. I don't care about these motherfuckers and their civilizations. I want to go fight Mirelurks. Mm. But no,
I have to.
Fuck you, Preston. Yeah.
That's right.
So yeah, Fortnite, dude. It's a revelation.
Dope.
It's a treat.
Hella dope.
Are you going to see the Northman, dude?
Oh, 100%. Woo! Yeah. I'm going to try to catch it in the theaters. I've been trying. Fucking everything all the time forever was amazing in the theater.
Yep, close enough.
Everything always forever.
Some everything, everywhere, every ounce.
All of this and nothing.
All of this and nothing.
All forever. The D.
All right, any quick news we should get to before we take a break?
There's fucking probably some news, but
yes, shit.
Who cares?
Let's get to that later.
Let's get to it. All right, bye. Oh my god. Hey Matt, guess what?
What's up, buddy?
We're fucking back, man.
Oh shit.
We're back.
Oh, can you tell these morons again about fucking Patreon?
I mean, I could, and now is normally the time where I would do some like very innovative off the top of my head reason why you should give us money, but I'm going to do something a little different this time, and I'm going to tell you why I love Patreon. For those of you that aren't a member of Patreon, I've been going through a really rough time lately, and
he has.
It's true.
I walked away from the show. I thought it was going to be the end of the show, and Patreon.com, when I thought there was nobody that gave a shit, all of those people came to just cheer me up, tell me how much the show meant to them, like sing my praises, just give me all kinds of well wishes and stuff like that. And two people in particular, both of them in Indiana, thank you guys so much. You've helped me more than I could ever say.
The Jackson Five?
Yeah. Is that where they're from? Is Indiana?
Absolutely.
Dope. Well, then seven people from Indiana.
Well, six.
Yeah.
Well,
you don't have to count LaToya.
Five.
That's true. Or Jermaine. He didn't really.
Three.
Point is, you know, it's you guys have given me a place to call home. When I thought that nobody gave a shit, you guys showed me that I do. And it's a real sense of community.
Just live.
Yep.
Like fucking.
Well, because I am you and you are me.
And we are we. The DDD.
That's what I mean.
And
you got that. That's exactly it. You got there.
And that's why you need to see everywhere. Everything, everywhere, all at once.
We talked about that. So, you know, it's a sense of community, and I really appreciate all of you guys more than my words could ever explain. Except now that I'm not smoking weed, maybe I can actually put together cohesive sentences.
Now we're talking.
But I love each and every one of you guys, and I thank you so much. The rest of you, we appreciate the downloads and the listens, but ultimately you're dog shit to us. So go to patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast and become a part of the family. The two of you in Indiana, I love you so much. Thank you.
Can I do a reverse Patreon pitch?
Yeah.
So Patreon, we like you, and thank you for sending the money. But if it weren't for all of you moochers, all you, you phonies, all you motherfuckers.
Wow.
Listening and taking and sucking us dry and giving nothing in return, which is most of you, we wouldn't be here recording because we can't record for what? A few dozen people?
I mean,
is that what you want to do? Is that how we want to do this?
We could.
Yeah. Okay, let me start over. Yeah. No, thank you for everyone for listening though. Because I think about, you know, the most people who listen to the show aren't Patreon. They just want to hear us and talk shit.
That's
like,
true.
You're fucking idiots.
And some of you, you know, like,
which is dope.
We understand that the entire world is fucked and money is tight for everybody, you know, and maybe you can't give us any money at patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast, but you can go to iTunes and Spotify and give us glowing reviews. If you give us a fucking negative review, I will fucking find you. And now I have just like all this fucking focus time to dedicate to tracking you down and voicing my displeasure on whatever social media you have.
And if you support us, you're supporting the Ukraine. Think about it.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're a Putin sympathizer, and that's a mistake.
Exactly.
You know,
you don't want to be on the wrong side of history.
You know, who thought they made a mistake, but now is probably, you know, thanking their lucky stars.
Kobe Bryant?
Kodlazikjeski?
No, he did make a mistake getting on that helicopter.
Our newest Patreon. Thank you for coming out. I've actually been playing. I think I've been playing.
Mark that off your bingo card.
I think I have been playing Fortnite with them specifically, I believe.
Nice.
What's this last name? Let me see that.
I don't know. It's Colostelorike.
Oh, and there was one little piece of news that is a personal note. I put out a 7-inch record for Ari Lehman, the guy who played Jason in the original Friday the 13th. He has a band called First Jason. I put out his 7-inch on my label, Nerve Agent Productions. The 7-inch is out now, nerveagents.net.
Where?
In your fucking ear holes. Nerveagents.net. Go buy that shit. You can also buy the Seraphic Disgust CD, RIP Dimes. That's my homie right there.
First Jason.
Also, if you're in San Diego, Seraphic Disgust is doing their first show since Dimes passed away on April 26th at Brick by
Brick. God, they do some pretty grimy stuff,
who
man.
Who the fuck was brave enough to fill those shoes?
Doomy as fuck. That new bass player is really good. He's no Dimes, but
No, I mean just like that. It takes a lot of great ass to want to step up into that fucking.
Dimes did have a great ass. Fuck.
Wow. It's almost like if you were trying to step into drumming for the Foo Fighters or something. You know what I mean? No?
I mean, yeah.
Not
those,
really.
Those are going to be hard shoes to fill.
Why don't they get like Dave Grohl to drum for... Well, never mind.
It's because...
Is that a downer?
All his life, he's been searching for something.
Speaking of which, something the Who Goes There podcast, watch 2022's Studio 666. Give me 1 second to pull up this IMDb page. Shit, I thought I would have it in time, but I'm an idiot.
Who else thought he would have it in time?
Directed by BJ McDonnell, written by written by Dave Grohl, Jeff Bueller, Rebecca Hughes, starring
Bueller.
Dave Grohl, Nate Mendel, Pat Smear, Taylor Hawkins, Rami Jaffe, Chris Shiflett, Whitney Cummings, Jeff Garland, Leslie Grossman, Jenna Ortega, 30 Seconds, Marty Matalas, Kerry King, and Will Forte for some fucking reason.
Because he's dope as fuck.
Yeah.
He can't really do any
Lionel Kerry Richie King. Was in here.
Jenna Ortega was like the very first person seen on screen, too.
That's a good move. But, yeah, you know.
I didn't even realize it was her.
Pat Smear, also nice to see him in his pajamas. And I think we've named the three good things about the movie, right? Who's going to go first, Jorge?
I'll go first. This movie is the best, the best, the best, the best movie. Psych!
Thank you.
This movie is trash, bro. This movie is a prime example of just because you can doesn't mean you should. And like the fact that like all of these dudes were in punk bands and now they suck so hard.
Well,
so Pat Smear was in the fucking Germs, dude.
I know.
Fucking Dave Grohl was in Nirvana. Fucking Nate was in Sunny Day Real Estate, which is the true emo. Fuck this My Chemical Romance bullshit. Chris Shiflett.
Fuck all that shit you like. Yeah, that's right.
Chris Shiflett was in fucking No Use for a Name, dude. Like, I don't know who this Rafi guy is, but
he's
like,
the keyboardist and he sucks.
Yeah, sure. Fine.
Yeah, and because Foo Fighters are known for their intricate keyboard arrangements. Right.
Yeah, and they're then like, these guys. These guys are all doing a fucking movie where they're like getting cucked by Jeff Garland and like Pat Smear is smiling through this entire fucking thing. Like somebody just gets like murdered and Pat Smear's got this fucking grin smeared across his face. And like, whoa, dude, like none of these guys can act. Like I read like a little bit of trivia and it said that Taylor Hawkins refused to read the script and just wanted to improv all of his lines. I'm like, yeah, that was probably a wise decision because like I don't think this is exactly, you know, Oscar worthy script writing here, but whoo, and this movie had no business being an hour and 45 minutes long. Like none whatsoever.
It's at least an hour long.
Dave Grohl is just like, look how many famous people I know. And the only person, I mean, Jenna Ortega is one of the only people that can act in this movie, but Lionel Richie, hands down, best part of this movie. Get your own song, nerd. Like that shit, that popped me. I was like, I was into that. But the rest of this movie,
I'm gonna disagree with you on one thing. The Lionel Richie shit also was dumb and stupid.
It was dumb, but like when he's like, get your own song, nerd, I'm like, damn, that's funny.
Fuck him.
I mean, it's Lionel Richie.
Fuck all of them.
He could get it.
Get it.
He could get that.
You going next, Jorge? Go on now. Get it.
Go on now. Get it.
Give us your views. Settle nice and comfy into those views.
And let just let it out. If you're hating your heart, let it out.
Let you know, it out. I didn't know that you could possibly contain a black hole of entertainment in an hour and 45 minutes. But I just,
I was watching this movie and I go, how much time is left? How much fucking time is left?
Hour and 30 minutes.
Hour and 45 minutes. Okay. Something's happening. Okay. How much time is left? An hour and 30 minutes. Okay. Something else is happening. How much time? An hour and 20 minutes. Motherfucker, whoever allowed these dumb fuckers to create a movie... I'm sorry, man. If you like the Foo Fighters, that's chill. You can like
Everlong was chill.
You can like the Foo Fighters.
On your back.
If you like Pat Smear in the Germs, that's chill.
Oh fuck yeah, that's chill.
Germs are dope.
You can do that,
but not anymore.
That's fine.
No, I'm just kidding.
Whomst ever greenlit this shit? And obviously, like Dave Grohl probably was like, "Oh, I'll pay for it."
Well, yeah, I noticed he's in quite scene. A few of the scenes.
Yeah,
this is the most soulless scum fuckery of a film that I have seen in a long fucking time. Mm. My disappointment is immeasurable, and my day has been ruined. By this film.
What do you mean your disappointment? So you knew it would be dumb, but you didn't think it would be
I didn't, you know what, to be honest with you, I didn't see a single thing about this film.
Oh.
Other than knowing that it was the Foo Fighters.
Same.
Well,
like I knew they were trying to record an album.
That's all I need to know.
Not that that gave me any hope, but that was the amount of interaction that I had with this film previous to watching it.
I will say I did like the gore that they had in the few scenes that there was gore.
Yeah, we'll get there. Yeah.
The chainsaw while they're fucking is like, okay, interesting idea.
Jenna Ortega getting her head bashed in the first couple seconds. I was like, damn, that's pretty fucking gnarly for the first like 2 minutes of this movie.
Look, it had a bunch of pulp on the skull and all that. I was like, that's admirable.
I don't like, I hate getting so far into it because like it's like a band created a fucking horror film and good for them and oh fuck, like it's you know how
hard it was fun though, dude.
You don't know how hard it is to fucking create a movie. You're just sitting there making fun of it.
I do. I do know how hard it is though.
And it's like,
look, that's
stop.
Not...
Stop.
Get some help.
Stop. Just stop.
Get some help with your movie.
What would Michael Jordan say?
Admit to yourself this movie was awful, first off. And just do away with shit.
I'll be the other guy, right? Well, it was about what I expected. No more, no less. You know, it was a goofy, you know, it was a rock band having some fun during the pandemic. You know, I didn't think it was going to be Shakespeare, and you know, that's what I got. I had a few laughs with it. I had fun with it. Shut the fuck up. What's wrong with you?
Stop it.
Yeah, stop it. Get some help. You're lowering the standard of everyone. You're fucked, and you are fucking us.
Yeah. Give us your take.
Go ahead.
before Hicks, we just devolve.
No, you're lowering this. These are demons lowering set loose the on the earth to lower the standard.
Yeah. The movie is immediately aggressively unfunny, right? And I've said this before, but I'll say it again. When movies that are funny, but they're not intentionally funny, that's my favorite type of thing. It's like a bad drama can be hilarious. A bad comedy is a bad fucking comedy.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And now the other thing I hate about this, besides that I just want to talk all sorts of trash about the blandness, meat potatoesness of the Foo Fighters, what they've been the last, whatever, right? Let me put that to the side. It's a vanity project.
Says you, bro.
It's a vanity project.
Yes.
And vanity projects rarely fucking go well, dude. And it's Dave Grohl's vanity project with horror and movies, which is like, dude, you're a great drummer, dude. Like, I haven't liked the band for 20 years, but obviously he's a hit factory. He's a hit machine. I understand his accolades. I loved his work in Nirvana.
Even his appeal. I understand his appeal.
Yeah, but dude, it is aggressively unfunny. At no point. I'm about to do the Billy Madison spiel.
You say Billie Eilish?
The Billy Madison spiel. Yeah. We're
all dumber.
It's just like meant to be stupid. And it was stupid. Dude, like Jorge said it. Like I'm looking I felt like 30 minutes went by and or 4 minutes went by. It's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing how it stretches time. And these jokes were just not only were they unfunny, they were just like, I can't believe you. You could tell they were very stilted how it was delivered, too. Like, nothing felt natural.
Well, yeah, because none of them can act, which means, like, the director is bad, too, because this is the best performance they got out of them.
He's paying them, so he's like, you can't tell. It's Dave Grohl surrounded by yes men. And the story is about Dave Grohl surrounded by yes men,
yeah.
Which is like, dude.
And the thing is,
is this how your band is?
That's the shit that I wanted to explore because like I know the bit that they're trying to do is that like Dave Grohl is really a nice guy.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's the story that we've been fed for the last, you know, fucking 20 years of the Foo Fighters in existence, right? So they're trying to do this whole thing where like, no, dude, like the story we're going to tell is like Dave Grohl's actually a madman. And it's like I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. Well,
here's the other thing.
I don't give a shit.
Like, if you're going to have... The band has, like, five members, right? They have a keyboard. Six. Okay, which also... I'm going to talk some shit. Why does the Foo Fighters have six fucking members and Rush has three? Like... Stop it. Get some help.
That's a very good point.
Why do you got three fucking guitarists?
They even made a Rush reference. They're like, we're going to do 2112 times 2112. And it's like...
Yeah.
That's a mistake.
That's
and then they used a universal hexagram and trying to do 30 minutes. So I'm like, oh, so you're Tool, dude. You think you're... No, I'm just kidding. No, but...
You're King Crimson now, dude, huh?
No, but...
Dude, when they were playing that song, I was like, oh, so they're Wolf Mother now.
Exactly. Or they're Mastodon.
No, it was literally a Muse riff.
Yeah.
Oh, was it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Knights of Cydonia.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I mean. He's been stock. Like, we had this term in high school, which was, if a riff was stock or if a beat was stock, it's like a generic thing you take off a shelf. Like, yeah. Oh, here, go to riff. Like, dude, that's creatively fucking bankrupt. But
yeah, the other thing. Well, you've got a list to get through.
Well, I'm not. I can't expect to get through this list like that.
See, and the problem you're talking about, like how unfunny it is, but there's movies that are just like so bad that they're charming.
This well, Grandma's Boy is fucking. Is
well,
not
Grandma's Boy is a comedy that's meant to be funny, and it's like funny. It's quotable and it's good. But even bringing comedians like Will Forte in there, it doesn't do anything for this movie. It's not does so anybody, bad that it's charming.
Does
it's
anybody just, actually think Will Forte is a good actor in anything?
Yes, he is. Absolutely. And MacGruber, he's a great comedic actor. And he was in what was the one a couple years ago.
Which one? The Irish one?
Yeah.
Fuck, I forgot.
Will Forte is almost all, even in the movies.
He can do drama, sucks. Too. He can be dramatic.
And you talk shit about Henry Winkler? I just started watching Barry. I forgot. He's fucking good in Barry.
When did you talk shit about Henry Winkler, you dick?
You do this thing where you're like, oh, an actor comes up. Does anyone actually think Henry Winkler? Does anyone actually think Ben Kingsley is a good actor?
I don't remember you talking shit about Henry Winkler.
Does anyone actually think Daniel Day-Lewis is a good actor?
I would have gotten mad.
Does anyone actually think Laurence fucking Olivier is a good actor?
No, truthfully. This guy is not good.
Will Forte?
Yeah,
he's not good, dude.
He's not good.
Oh, The Ordinary. That's what it was called. Extraordinary.
Yeah, Extraordinary.
It's so good you can't even really remember the fucking name of the movie. That's how good it is.
I smoked weed because every day for 16 and a half years.
That's proof
that he's not
it's
good
so,
to Jorge.
It's so good, in fact, that you forgot the fucking movie.
I'm fine with Will Forte.
Yeah, Will Forte is fine, but like...
He's retardation.
This movie is just so... lukewarm, limp dick. Like, it's not even so bad that it's good. It's not even so bad that it's charming. Well,
because it's a comedy. It's a comedy that doesn't work at all.
The thing is that we're, you know...
Hold up.
So far beyond it's not so bad, it's good. It's
the soul-sucking black hole. I think I isolated why. I have a theory. You've got a lot of characters, not a lot, but you've got multiple characters. Because there's six people in this band.
Yep.
That's six characters. The only reason there's six characters in this movie, though, isn't for a narrative purpose.
Because there's six people in the band.
There's six people in the band.
Yeah. Yep.
And there's six people occupying this movie that for most of the movie are not characters.
Yeah, they're just themselves.
They're not even them. They're just there.
Yeah.
And themselves, like, you don't have much personality. You're not showing shit. Like, Taylor Hawkins is usually, like, the extrovert guy with Dave Grohl at interviews. And in here, I'm not sorry. He looks dope sick.
Yeah.
And he probably was. And that's fucked up.
And Pat Smear smiling politely. And
I like seeing Pat Smear sleep on the floor in the kitchen.
See, but, like, those bits...
I'm not saying that's good. I'm just trying to be kind.
Yeah, but it's like, what were you... Are you saying that Pat Smear's, like, not an equal part of the band? Why is Pat Smear over here, you know? Like, I just question the choices they made in a lot of these.
They're trying to tell a lot of inside jokes without us having to be on the... Without us on the inside. Where it's like, oh, Pat Smear's on the counter. That's where he sits. It's like, ha, ha, ha.
But it's like, why?
Pero por qué?
Is it because he's the most punk rock out of all of them?
The weirdo with the fucking glasses, he's the horny one? Okay, but why?
Oh, God, dude. And every time he opened his mouth, I just want to put my fist in it. Just like, shut the fuck up, Remy, Raffy, whatever the fuck his name
is. And it's like, yeah, and the stuff that's so on the nose doesn't begin to... He's like, have you ever tried meditating?
Yeah.
Like, what? Like, it's some new technique? And then fucking... And Dave Grohl goes... Fuck meditation. It's like, dude, oh, I get it, because he's rock and roll. Fuck meditate. Like, what is this?
Dude, and what am I looking at? They, like, are so proud that it says fuck, like, 152 times, but it's, like, not... It doesn't flow well. You know, like, when people are cursing, like, and it doesn't seem like it's part of their character, it doesn't fuck. When we say fuck, it's like, oh, okay, these guys are just assholes that curse all the time. But, like, it felt like they were forcing it just to be edgy. Like,
well, I listen to the show and I say fuck too much sometimes. I'm like, dude, will you stop saying that? Because you just sound inarticulate. You know? So, but again, how much is it costing us to produce this show right now and how much time we spending on it?
An amount.
Yeah.
Right.
Not much.
Several million dollars, several months with a bunch of fucking crew and everything. Like, I'm not comparing. Fuck that. You know what I mean? Like, this is, nah, dude. Yes. I think you're right, Matt. Not even the fucks flow well.
Okay, the craziest. Okay, I'm gonna say something controversial. The craziest thing about this film to me is the fucking disparity between the bad stuff and the things that I actually found kind of interesting. So I actually kind of enjoyed the demon.
Did you just say things were interesting in this movie?
Yes. I actually kind of enjoyed the demon effect that the
you mean those black things with the red
I thought they were at least I'm again,
dude, that's like Birdemic level again. Fucking demons.
I was like, how do they look so bad?
I'm just saying,
like, the raccoon looked more believable, that gutted raccoon.
You know what, and fuck that too, why of all sweet little fucking tender animals
would you put a fucking trash panda
on your wall? And they're like, oh, they even made a joke about that. That's why. No, fuck that. Take that raccoon down. Stop it. Get some help.
That's the fourth time.
At least.
I've been counting since the show started.
Go back to your fucking horrible demons.
No. All I'm saying, no. They're bad. They're bad.
Yeah. But they're worse than the ghosts and ghosts.
But it's like, of all the
that at least had an excuse. That movie's 30 years old.
What I'm saying is the acting is like that bad. Where it's like, well, you know, the demons were, you know,
the acting is so bad that you're like willing to give the demons some slack because at least they're not as shitty as the delivery of these people.
Now you're on my wavelength. Exactly.
What else is interesting to you in this
film? That was it.
And it's like, what is the end? What is the book? Like when I was telling Cal about what movies we're doing, like I told him, you know, oh, Studio 666 comes out like next week. Sorry, it's a short notice. And I was like, but it's basically Foo Fighters meets Evil Dead. That's all you really need to know without watching the movie. And that's all it is. They have a book, which is essentially the Necronomicon, but they don't call it the Necronomicon.
Which has Bible verses in it, by the way.
It's a love letter to horror, dude.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because like when Will Forte showed up and he looks up at the house, it's like looking at the light in The Exorcist. And when fucking Dave Grohl comes out of the pool, he has the position that the girl has on the cover of Evil Dead, and it's like, okay, we get it. You've seen a couple of horror
movies that had like the passages about Jesus in it.
Also, I think about horror and I think about a band that has just that kind of vibe, I think Foo Fighters.
Yeah, right? I
mean? Bro, that's just how they
subverted. One of these things is not like the your other.
Expectations.
Also, how in the fuck is Tenacious D not in this movie?
Well, don't.
No. I know you're very anti D, but like
I'm not anti D.
Dave Grohl was the devil in Tribute. Dave Grohl was the devil in Pick of Destiny. Like
Matt,
the fact that Tenacious D doesn't even make an appearance in this movie at all.
I'm glad they don't, because Tenacious D, and I'm not anti D. I just didn't memorize that album like you guys.
I mean, that's a mistake.
And I thought Pick of Destiny sucked.
I love you, baby.
But Pick of Destiny.
All I can think about is kielbasa sausage. Your butt cheeks is warm.
Ding.
Okay, wait. Go ahead.
Pick of Destiny. As much as I was not big on that movie, and that's when I was smoking weed and drunk watching it. I was just like, "Come on, that movie is 100 times better than this piece of shit."
Oh yeah.
So I'm glad.
You know why? Because Jack Black is a comedian.
So maybe
he knows what he's doing. He has comedic timing.
Well, I think Dave Grohl was probably like, I think it's vanity again. Like, I'll get Lionel because he's my neighbor, but I don't want to bring Jack Black in because then that'll just overshadow me. Yes, it would, and it would draw immediate comparison, which it already does, to Tenacious D and that other fucking movie. So I think it was a wise decision to have them come nowhere near this, because can we just spend time with them for an hour and a half, please?
If you don't involve Jack Black and Tenacious D, you can come off across because it's like there's obvious
parallels
to it, and it's like, well, either bring him in to really dig into it, right? I just don't understand. What, like, it's a good point, man.
We're missing the D.
I think that was very intentional to miss the D. And I think that was a wise decision, because it would make the Foo Fighters look even worse, and it would also
He wheeled out all of his other famous friends. Like, John Carpenter did the score for this, and like,
and he was in the engineering room.
Everything John Carpenter does just sounds like Big Trouble in Little China to me. And I understand that's just his sound, but it's like anytime I hear anything John Carpenter, I'm like, yeah, that's Big Trouble in Little China right there.
John Carpenter's John Carpenter. He has nothing left to prove, and et cetera, et cetera. And he doesn't owe anyone anything. But I think it's fair to say he's probably past his prime with composition and stuff, which is, again, he doesn't have anything to prove. If he wants to do some silly shit, but again, that was disheartening to see him, because I'm like, what?
Dave Grohl wheeling out all his famous friends. That's what it is. Like, it's just him stroking his own ego is what it feels like.
Well, you know,
because I wasn't like, oh, fuck yeah, that's John Carpenter. I'm like, fuck, they dragged John Carpenter into this.
And then
Kerry King, like, I got a little excited about Kerry King, but then I'm like, they got Kerry King humping gear, and like, unless you know who Kerry King is, that's just going to fly right over your head.
It has like lines to these lines. I'm looking at this. Like, let me apologize in advance for all the rock we're about to make.
Oh, yeah.
Like, dude.
You know what? There was one line
that
I thought was funny when the neighbor lady brings over the lemon bars, and she's like, it's my grandma's recipe, but I added my own twist on it. And the guy tastes it and he goes, ooh, is that cocaine? I was like, oh. That's kind of funny. And then, like, Pat Smear proceeds to eat a whole bunch of them.
Well,
but, like, nobody gets yacked out.
Well, I thought that was funny, too, because I'm watching with Sophia. I'm like, oh, that's funny. Oh, a drummer dies a month later of drug overdose.
Yeah. Yeah, it's...
Speaking of
the
which,
foreshadowing that you found.
Well, like, speaking of which, too, like, in the opening credits, it says drummer dies and blah, 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 blah.
Isn't that when it said Taylor Hawkins, or did it say somebody else?
It was right after that.
Oh. And then like...
Timing on that is unfortunate.
Yeah. And then they walk in there and, you know, does anyone else get this overwhelming feeling of death and darkness when they get in the house? It's like, okay, check, check. And then, like, one of the kills, when Grohl kills fucking Taylor Hawkins. Spoiler alert. He throws a symbol at his face, which, again, look, I'm going to be
somebody
fair.
Played Mortal Kombat.
I want to see a symbol get thrown at someone's face, and now I have, and it cut his face in half, and I like the creativity of it. I like the execution even of it. And then, though, his body falls down, and it's so ghoulish now, though, because he's flipping off the body while it's like... and it's like, oh...
I bet he really regrets that now.
Well, dude, it's just so, like, if it wasn't some staged Pfizer Illuminati thing like Matt was talking about...
Do your research.
It just comes off so bad. Like, if I was Dave Grohl and I'm watching myself flip off this fucking... this body, and it's like, damn, this wasn't very fucking funny.
It's like, I don't even think that the movie was out of theaters before he died.
No, it's just really, really like, gosh, that didn't age well.
And we're talking about like how this is a vanity project for Dave Grohl, and ultimately in the end, like, Dave Grohl winds up going solo, and I'm like, is this just him saying he wants to kill off his fucking band because he's the star?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, unless you're like a big Foo Fighters fan, like, how many people actually know the names of the Foo Fighters before this? I mean,
Shifty, dude.
See, well, but that's the thing. I knew all of them except for that Rothy guy.
Because they came from other bands.
Because of the bands they were in before. Like, I was mad that Nate left Sunny Day Real Estate to join the fucking Foo Fighters. I was mad that Chris Shiflett left No Use for a Name to join the fucking Foo Fighters. I mean, like, I don't blame any of them. Like, they're going to make way more money doing that shit.
Foo Fighters' first drummer... Which
Dave Grohl?
Well. Besides Dave, the one that was on record, the first album they did was the drummer from Sunny Day Real Estate. Also,
oh, was he?
Yeah.
Well, see, and then
when
like
when he did "I'll Stick Around" and stuff. But in all, I mean, to be fair, Taylor's a better drummer than that guy.
Yeah, and he was in Alanis Morissette.
Yeah,
that was crazy. Yeah. I mean, he was probably in Alanis Morissette. Yeah, but he also played drums for Alanis Morissette. Yeah.
But it was a lot cooler. Regardless of being better or not, that the guy was from Sunny Day Real Estate.
Yeah.
Than Alanis Morissette. Yeah. It sounded a lot better, god damn it.
Yeah.
But, you know. But that's when Dave's like, fuck it, I'm going to throw down. I'm going to put... Like, he put the drums down for Everlong. Like, Taylor's in the band, but he's like, I'm recording the drums.
Dave did, yeah.
Yeah, he recorded My Hero. He's like...
Which is weird, because, like, when he's actually playing drums... And, like, I mean, I don't know as much about drums as you guys do, but when he first started playing drums in the movie, I'm like, wow, he... Doesn't sound
he's a
good.
He's a clunky drummer. There's nothing
Ooh,
like
Dave.
Yeah,
yeah. It like it,
it's a pss, pss, da, get, do, do. That was badass. You guys are.
Tripping. I don't know. It sounded not good.
I don't know. His feel is great. You haven't been drumming in a really long time, so you don't Shut know anymore.
Up. You guys don't know what you're looking for. Dave's never been like a.
Also, you just got winded trying to play Superman. So like
Superman.
Yeah, by Goldfinger.
That shit's whack.
That shit's good. That's why you got all burnt out.
You got burnt out.
I mean,
on boobies.
Well, that's true.
I will never get burnt out on boobies ever.
Movies.
Oh yeah, that
movies.
Yeah.
This isn't a boobie podcast. It's a movie.
It could be. I mean,
be a lot cooler if it was.
Yeah, there's one thing that's been consistent about this podcast.
You know what else too? What this movie's missing
is
with
boobs?
The type of movie it is. Boobs? Rock and roll, R-rated horror movie. Where are the boobs?
Well, he even said like it was rated R for like strong violence, gore, sexual contact, or sexual content. And I was like, what sexual content? There was that one scene where the girl's in her bra and they simulated dry humping.
That's dope.
Like, yeah. I mean that whole deal with Whitney Cummings is like, well, okay. If you're
what gonna, is she in?
Who the fuck is that?
She's a comedian.
She's the neighbor.
Oh, the
girl.
Neighbor. Yeah. Obnoxious.
Yeah, she sucks.
But I think that's the whole point.
But she had a lot better comedic timing as bland as it was than anyone else in the
movie. Literally everyone who was a secondary character did. Like,
yeah, because they've acted before.
The neighbor girl did. Jeff Garland did. The other girl that shows them the house.
Will Forte.
Like, everyone else had better... Even Carrie King had better comedic timing.
The shitty manager. Like, he was really...
That's
like,
Jeff Garland, yeah. Oh,
okay. Imagine trying to deliver those lines.
He was in the Goldbergs, you know? Yeah. See, that's the thing is, like, they... like. One of the first rules of acting is reacting. And so when you're somebody like Jeff Garland and you have to fucking react to these
black hole,
these dead wood fucking delivery of these lines. Like,
that's what
it's just going to be so much rock that it's going to blow your own dick back into your mouth. And it's
only
like,
someone like Christopher Walken has the superpowers to deal with that kind of void.
Dude,
yeah, you know what I mean? Back to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. He probably void them back.
Yeah. Low energy, strange delivery.
But he would, but that's the thing is his void would be so strong that he would elevate their
void.
Yeah.
You got you got a great point about that joke about like, we're going to fucking make so much rock. It's going to blow off your dick into your mouth. And it's like,
all the way back into your mouth?
Yeah, well, see, like, and then Taylor,
damn, dude.
Taylor Hawkins didn't learn the script, so he, like, improvised that, and it's like, well, bro, like, it seems improvised, but not in a good way. Like, it seems like you're just making shit up to try to be funny, and it just feels tone deaf.
Well, making shit up to try to be funny is one thing, but, like, that's what you came up with?
Yeah,
and right? And also, you didn't have one take. Like, you could have tried again, right?
Yeah.
Like, is it just like one take and we're done, bro? We don't have the money for another one.
That's how Grohl is, dude. One recording. That's
he's like
it.
Clint Eastwood, right? He does one. He's like, does, because he's known for that, by the way.
Good.
Clint's like, if you get the right actors, you usually don't need more than one take. And David Fincher's like rolling in his grave, like, what? Yeah, David Fincher, he said, like, sorry, I fucking, a side note. He said, once we do it like 30 times, I'm like, then we can begin.
Right.
That's
right,
fucking crazy. Anyway. Yes, this whole improvisational Taylor Hawkins thing did not work.
Yeah.
What
is going on with the book? Because I don't get it.
Skin book.
Like, I get that it's a skin book.
The Necronomicon.
Oh, but see, that was a dumb joke, but it was charming. It was fun, unlike anything in this movie. Okay. But like, dude. Jenna Ortega gets her skull bashed in the first minute of the movie.
Yeah.
But then like, she's the evil one in the end?
No, dude.
Like,
no.
Well, because that bald fuck.
They were bound to that place because they were murdered there.
Yeah.
Well, right.
They escaped.
But it was like the bald guy was the one who, oh man, I made a really terrible NXS joke like at the beginning, like when the guy hung himself. I'm like, oh, so the band that was here before in the 90s was NXS. And like,
look, if you want to disrespect Foo Fighters, that's one thing. But this is bad taste.
NXS is off limits?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm. Not really. I like him, though.
But like, so they get this bald guy who's a fucking demon who Dave Grohl defeats by punching him in the face a bunch of times. So like, Dave Grohl, the man, can defeat demons with his fists. And then like, Jenna Ortega fucking telepathically brings the book to her and they're like, cool, we have the power. And then... gone,
bro. The whole thing.
Don't worry about that.
And then it's like, even though,
don't trouble yourself with these.
Even though Jenna Ortega in the band now has the book, Jeff Garland is like, well, it doesn't matter what happens with the book because you finished the song and now it's time for your solo career. But it's like Dave Grohl goes solo and he's a demon. Like, what's the point? Like, is he? It didn't show him like shredding and doing metal and doing like demonic incantations or anything and like summoning demons to attack the crowd. So it's just like this whole thing was a vehicle for Dave Grohl to go solo.
The theory that I have is that Dave Grohl made this film with the intention that his kids were going to watch it.
Then why did he say fuck 152 times?
Well, because in his house, they can say fuck, but you know what they can't see? A pair of tits.
Mm.
And so I'm watching and I go, yeah, this
Jorge.
Is I go, this is exactly it, dude. Like,
that's a little arbitrary, right? Just to go to that, right? Don't you think? Like, I want to make a bad film for my kids.
I mean, why not?
Why not?
Why make it bad?
Bill Goldberg wanted to wrestle just so his son could see him.
He thinks he's making a good film.
I don't see, he can't be that stupid. He can be that blinded by vanity.
That's it.
Right?
Yeah,
but goddamn,
yeah.
I mean, stop it. Get some help.
I know. That's what. So I'm like, okay, well, I go, they're gonna head towards a sex scene, but they're gonna make a U-turn at it because you can't have that in your rated R horror film.
Yeah, dude. Like, not a single boob.
Well, Dave Grohl.
We had the fucking keyboardist in a thong.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, that was...
Isn't that what you wanted to see?
I mean, I wanted him to pull the thong aside and just show the full Monty, but we didn't get that either.
Yeah, I would have been fine with a dick.
Grohl did this. They did thing over Taylor and over Hawkins. Again too.
Because
you can feel them like spinning wheels, trying to fill time and build tension. Oh, right? God,
they filled so much time.
Dave Grohl is on camera and he looks over his shoulder. By the 32-minute mark, he had done it 5 times, so I started counting. He does it 9 times in the movie. He looks over his shoulder like this. And it's like, dude, when I talk about a vanity project, it's like, fuck, dude.
That's his blue steel, dude.
It was really, really bad. And that's the thing. Even amongst the band, I know, again, Grohl is Grohl in his thing. On film, in this movie, he's not even the most charismatic fucking person from the band. So when they finally get to Pat and that other dude with like the sweater at the end starting to be characters and trying to deal with him around the pool.
Oh yeah.
It was still a bad movie, but it's like you needed to do this like an hour and a half ago.
Yeah.
You needed to develop other people, and these guys are more likable.
Wacky hijinks early on.
See, yeah. And that was when there was actually a little bit of enjoyable, because it got very Scooby-Doo at the end with the two of them, and that was fun. And like,
but then it ended, and I'm like, okay, cool. This is done. This stupid shit's finally over at the pool, and then it kept going for 20 minutes.
Yep.
I was like, and then like Sophia got mad. She's like, I can't. She left. She went upstairs.
Yeah. It's nice for her to be able to do that.
I wish I could have gone upstairs.
Well, and it's like, I was just like, I was mad for 20 minutes. Like, I didn't like the movie already, obviously, but I was like, why the fuck? Who told you need to make this 20 minutes longer now?
Yeah, dude, it's crazy.
Like, I was telling my coworker was asking me, like, oh, how was it? And I was like, bro, this could have been 70 minutes max. Like, the minimum it takes to be a feature-length movie, this could have been. There's so much just bullshit of them just playing the same song over and over and over again. And I know like maybe that was intentional because it's like they wanted to beat us down the way the band members had been beaten down with Dave Grohl's bullshit. And well, guess what? It worked because I felt totally fucking defeated exhausted by the end of it.
Who's
gonna be the person who tells us, guys, You guys just didn't get it. You like, you know.
You mean from our Discord?
For anybody, dude. Who's gonna be the one?
No, they're not gonna do that. It's not something. You know. Again, here's
it's the not
line.
For you, dude.
I mean, realistically,
it's about what I expected. No more.
Realistically,
no
one will tell us that because it's impossible to find this movie unless you pay $20 to watch it. And the idea that anybody's gonna pay $20 to watch this.
You're not fans of the Foo Fighters, so going into it, you're already antagonistic towards. So you know, it's not.
I wouldn't even say I'm not a fan of the Foo Fighters. This movie wasn't made
for you, dude.
I wouldn't call myself a fan of the Foo Fighters. I do enjoy a handful of their songs, but like,
I'm
not enough to think this movie is good or give it a pass.
No, I value being able to separate the issues. Like, if I didn't like the band but I enjoyed the movie, I'd make that clear. And again, I'm talking. Look, a few minutes ago. Everlong and all these early things, but again, it's two separate fucking issues, dude. It's a vanity project. I mean, this shit shouldn't exist. This shit should be highly regulated, like China, and be illegal.
Yeah.
This shit, they should probably be fucking.
They should build a wall around this movie, is what they should do. Build a wall and make Dave Grohl pay for it.
Like, wait until Putin finds out about this and see what he has to say.
Yeah. This is why Putin attacked Ukraine.
This is why the electromagnetic pulse
Putin got an early copy of fucking Studio 666. He's like, well, that's it.
He's like, you know what? That house is in Ukraine for sure. They're fine with this movie. Fuck that.
Hopefully.
He ordered the assassination of Taylor Hawkins. That's what happened.
Whoa.
He sent one of his special KGB agents to Brazil and they just fucking shot him up with a whole bunch of shit. Do your research.
It is some strange fucking multiverse dark synchronicity shit going on, though. You know, it's one of those thingies, dude. Like, again.
Do you think that Dave Grohl is vain enough to feel guilty about the death scene in this film with Taylor Hawkins?
I don't think it would just be vain. It comes off ghoulish after, he obviously didn't plan it.
But do you think like he feels like this deep-seated thing like, I killed my friend.
Here's the thing.
I don't think he feels like he kills him, but I think he might feel bad about how it looks now. Because like the timing of that is just really fucking unfortunate.
The timing, it's always unfortunate. Like, to be serious for a second, right? Like, someone died. He died with 10 substances in his system, right? And I'm not. It's not about judgment. I'm saying that's what it was. That means the band. You know, rock bands do drugs. People do drugs. Okay. Well,
from what I heard, a lot of them were like prescription, like, you know, like antidepressants and kind of stuff like that. Like, so stuff that was prescribed to him, but there was also illicit stuff.
Well, and those things interact very badly with other stuff.
Yeah. Especially alcohol.
And if you're taking them in the first place for brain chemistry, so you're making this trust. I've learned all of these things the hard way, right? I have bad brain chemistry. And then I'm taking fucking medication for the bad brain chemistry, and then I'm drinking and doing uppers and doing other shit. So it's this fucking cocktail of disaster. And he's a millionaire.
That's what this movie is.
He's a millionaire, and he's rewarded for that kind of stuff. And also, that the thing is, probably they're all complicit. I'm saying though, the band is complicit in all this stuff. So it must feel it must feel horrible, of course, anyway, when your band member and your friend passes away that way. And then when you just filmed a movie that's supposed to be fun and you're supposed to be having fun with the horror and the elements of darkness and death and morbidity, but it's like the whole time you've been oblivious or you've been turning the other cheek. That's what would have had to been happening. It's not like people didn't know.
Oh, there's no way.
I mean, but people, you want to give people their autonomy. I get it. Like, make your own decisions. You do your own thing. You can't stop him. He'll be cool. He'll be all right. He's dead.
Well, see, and then another thing that makes it even more fucked up on another level is that they have this scene where they're all sitting around a table and Dave Grohl's telling them they're going to have to stay in this house for like 3 weeks to a month or something. And everybody's like, oh, well, who's going to tell my wife? And Taylor Hawkins says, I'll tell my wife, but somebody's going to have to tell my kids. Like, so the idea that his kids are going to watch this movie knowing that it's the last thing their dad did, like creatively, and they get to see him die. And not only that, they're seeing like Uncle Dave flipping off the corpse of their dad who died in real life a month later. Like, that's fucking, that's heavy.
It became, like, you know what it's like? Heavy. It feels like the Burzum, that fucking.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. It just popped in my head because it's like the associate, not in the same way, because that guy is fucking a killer. And I'm going to say, but it just feels ghoulish like that. Like, but instead of like it producing some really like dark fucking black metal, it produced a shitty ass movie.
Yeah.
Damn. So it feels all wrong because of the timing and ghoulish, and it sucks. So it's like, damn, that's a bummer.
Yeah, like before we watched the movie, I thought we were going to come in here and make a whole bunch of Taylor Hawkins jokes, but it's just like, this movie's just not even worthy of joking about because it's just so bad.
Because I think in the moment, like the Taylor Hawkins thing was like, you know, when he died, it was like, you know, nobody in our inner circle likes fucking Foo Fighters. So it's like, you know, it feels a little bit kind of like tongue in cheek that we're making fun of it. But
well, it's also part of horror and the ethos of horror. I'm not saying to make light of, but you're to try to laugh in the face of death. You know what I'm saying? That's part
of tragedy.
That's why people cheer when people get killed at a horror movie. If you're going in, it's a crowd.
I really feel like we're spitting in the face of the horror community right now.
Oh. You went there.
No. I mean, I feel like we've been doing that for almost 9 years.
Well, if you can't be honest about your own base impulses and you like horror, then I think you're confused, personally. I really do. I think you need to stop it
and get some help.
You know, stop acting like you're fucking perfect. Don't be, you know, if you want to be super critical, like, I get it because we're doing it right now. So be honest about it and stop it. Get some help.
Wow. Yeah, no. This is a do not recommend for me. Don't watch it on accident. Don't watch it.
Definitely don't fucking spend $20 on it.
Don't spend.
You know, if somebody does one of those recuts where they like cut it down to like 30 minutes, you know, maybe.
It would be a hilarious cut to take Dave Grohl completely out of it. Just to see what it would
everybody,
look like.
Everybody in the band just talks about Dave, but you never see him. Exactly, like, he's a fucking ghost. Dude. That would be dope. You I'd be what? Into that.
Why didn't anyone bring a queso ron tonight?
You brought cookie rons.
Yeah. Oh, I did. That's true.
I was planning on making pizza ron, but then I had all that fucking stress to deal with today.
Yeah, don't you owe us fucking pizza skulls?
Yeah, you owe us.
I mean, do I?
You owe us.
I don't know shit. In the words of Dave Grohl, I don't know you anything.
I like that song.
That's a dope song.
I'll stick around. That's a good song.
That song's tight.
I like Monkey Wrench. Was, that's how stupid I am.
Funny that you mentioned that.
That's how stupid I actually am.
Give
me some rope. I like that song.
I have an audition for a movie called Monkey Wrench that's about somebody trying to convince their friend not to fuck a Foo Fighters fan.
Are you serious?
I'm the Foo Fighters fan.
Oh, shit.
Well, I have the audition to be the Foo Fighters fan.
Well, that's why I don't know if you know how like chaotic you are to me in my head. You might not actually be. Yeah. I didn't know if you were going to show up here depending on your mood and think that this movie was...
Oh, no.
Got a pass somehow.
No. There's no way this movie gets a pass. There's nothing redeeming about this movie. I mean, I that's not true. Jenna Ortega, goddamn, she's so fine.
Yeah.
But, like, she doesn't even say anything. She stands there. I mean, like, she does the whole Jenna Ortega screaming, crying thing in the first minute. And she does that really well. But then she just stands there in this fucking, like, white outfit, just, like, bunch of fucking eye makeup on, just standing there, like, doing nothing. Yeah. Talking telepathically and, like, bringing a book to her hand and then vanishing.
It's not good.
It's like, not. Why? Why?
You know what is good, though? X. Dude, have you listened to what you said on the episode? You start saying them, it's like, oh, so you love it. Okay. you said some really praiseworthy stuff, man.
Did I? I don't even remember. I was under the influence of drugs back then.
No longer, though. You're a changed man.
I can see clearly now.
Wake in the morning, son. Cut off the toe. No, I won't do it. No.
I love that he's not even close.
That's the idea.
To the melody that he's trying to get to.
Doesn't matter.
But then he goes, do, 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 do,
do, do, it's an amalgamation of Marley is what it is.
This is my message to you. If you like that song, you'll love this movie. Because you're dumb.
I highly disagree because I really do enjoy that song.
Jesus Christ.
Celebrate Bob Marley's entire catalog.
The entire catalog.
Mm. And Bjork. Those are the only two entire catalogs you celebrate the entirety of.
No, Silverchair. I celebrate Silverchair's entire catalog. Nerve Agents only has like 3 records, so their entire catalog.
You listen to Bjork, dude? Name one album.
Post? Debut?
That's not even an album.
Vespertine?
Vespertine is
the shit.
That's in my top 10.
There you go.
Volto?
The last like 4 or 5 albums, she just got a little too weird
for what?
Me. That's right.
A little too...
She started with Arca?
A little too out there. A little too experimental for me.
Hmm.
Not down.
She got a little too experimental for
herself.
Yeah.
For her fans.
What, she's all, I'm not interested in really like making a song.
What movie is she supposed to be in? Is that The Northman?
Yeah, that's why you should go see it.
Mm. Dude, if you checked out...
I liked it better when it was called The Headhunter. Thank you.
Not even close, dude.
Oh, really? It seems pretty fucking close.
Bro, nobody liked it better when it was called The Headhunter. I'm sorry, man.
Not even close.
I hella dug it.
All right, idiots, that's the Who Goes Your Podcast for episode 48. This is Jorge signing up.
This is Matt.
Next
is Rhett.
Next week is...
Pieces of Talent.
Or
Threads, depending on if we can find Pieces of Talent. But look for it, because it's not easy to find.
Look up both of those. Threads should be on Shudder.
Threads is on Shudder.
And it's fucking...
Next three movies are Pieces of Talent, Threads from 1984. Apparently, there's a 2015 movie, I think. And then Army of Darkness.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So there you go. We've got a little bit of cohesiveness. You know what's coming,
and that gives us a little bit of time for some new stuff to build up, hopefully. And we'll tackle some new bullshit after those.
Okay, bye.
Or we won't.
Bye.
Bye, Sophia.
Bye, Sophia.
Can you not?
My love.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this room.